Okay, we're back. Because there's concern that the first recording was too quiet, so we're adjusting something and trying again. It's gonna be quieter this time because I don't have anything to scream about. I'll tell a story. So, before San Diego, I'm working on the book, and there's a knock on the door. I check, and it's one uniformed police officer and one detective. They want to talk to me. I say, and so I go outside to speak with them because my apartment is kind of a disaster. So unless I know someone's coming and clean it, it's not presentable, you know. So, and also I didn't know what they wanted. So better to not have them in the house, I figure. They're talking to me, and they say, do you know Mrs. do you know Mrs. X? Oh, sure, I know Mrs. X. Well, do you know Mr. What's-His-Nose? Sure, I know Mr. What's-His-Nose. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Well, Mr. What's-His-Nose had something stolen, and he thinks Mrs. X took it and left it here. I said, I don't think so. Mrs. X hasn't been here in a while. What's his nose lose? 2,000 comic books. 2,000 comic books. Talk about nothing better to do. Okay? There's no violent crime in the city that the detective and a uniformed police officer could be tracking down. They're looking for 2,000 comic books. I say, do you realize how the volume 2,000 comic books takes up? It's like the entire trunk of a car, of a mid-sized car, not like a Toyota. Yeah, well, so you didn't notice. I think I would have noticed 4 or 5 long boxes of comic books. She would have had to make a few trips with a dolly. So then they're not here. Well, we'd like to take a look around. At this point, I'm sort of half annoyed and also half amused. So I said, sure, just give me a second to straighten a few things up so I don't look like such a lowlife. So I go, I'm on the top floor of a duplex. So I go up there. And they're falling right behind me. I go to the door. I said, just wait here a second. I go in the apartment. I look around. It's just sort of cluttered, but not repellent. There's a bowl of soup or like chili or something lying there on the table. I don't have a garbage disposal, so I wander over to the bathroom, scrape it into the toilet, flush the toilet. Immediately realize that they're right outside the door hearing me flush the toilet, so they assume that I poured a bunch of cocaine down there or something. Whatever, fine. What? There's no cocaine here, whatever. I let him in. I go back to typing on the computer. I don't remember what I was doing, dialogue, or I was doing something on the computer, and I'm typing away, and they're sort of nosing around, and he sees on the floor first a box of Captain Crunch, sort of, on its side. Now, I can explain the Captain Crunch. I have developed a method for eating cereal where you do not need a clean bowl and spoon. Here's what you do. You take a handful of cereal, put it in your mouth, you take the gallon of milk, you drink the gallon of milk while the cereal is still in your mouth, you chew it, it's exactly the same as if you had used a spoon. See, because I'm divorced so I can do that sort of stuff. Don't ever get divorced. It's fun for like the first month. You're a 5-year-old again. Woo, look at me. I'm eating cereal without a bowl or a spoon. Look, I'm drinking milk right out of the carton. Chug, chug, chug. And then like, you know, 3 months into it, I don't care. I'll just drink the milk right out of the carton. What difference does it make? Crunch, crunch. So anyhow, so that's why the cereal's there. Next to the bowl, next to the cereal box, is my loaded 45. my loaded 45 pistol. Now I don't know why that was there. I don't have kids. I live by myself. I probably cleaned it at some point. At some point, I cleaned it or took it out of the case, and it just sort of, you know, I lost interest in cleaning it, and it just kept getting shuffled around. I don't remember what the combination of the lock is on the case. So if I put it back in there and close the case, it's going to stay in there. And then if I need it, I got to break the lock open. So it just sort of been getting shuffled around the apartment with, you know, anything else. As though it's a magazine or the remote control or whatever. It's just been getting shuffled around. And, you know, maybe I might have, you know, watched a TV show and had it and went pew 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 pew, pew, you know, side by side with Jimmy Stewart shooting at Indians. oh, whatever. I'm a weird guy. So there it is. And he sort of nudges the cereal box over with his shoe and goes, "Is that a real gun?" Next chief of police, right there. Nothing gets by this cat. Said. I just, you know, and I'm still involved in typing because I got a deadline. I don't really care what these two idiots are doing because there's no comic books. The stolen comic books are not here, and neither is anything else, you know, illegal. I just sort of look over and grunt, yeah, and then keep typing. He goes, then he says, as if I was about to run over and put it away, he goes, "Well, just leave it here for now. Don't pick it up." I just look at him like, huh? Yeah. When you leave, it's going to sit there until I shuffle it somewhere else and it gets filed, you know, it gets stuck over with the DVDs or something. But after I turn and go back to typing, as though he just, you know, found my baseball glove or something, then I'm looking at the computer screen and I can see the reflection in it, and the two sort of look at each other and then stop micro searching the apartment, you know, like before they were like looking in nooks and crannies, you know, they're looking at small sections of it at a time. Now, they look at each other and then take in the whole apartment, you know, take it in as a whole. I go to a lot of estate sales and stuff, and because of what I do, people give me weird crap as gifts, and I appreciate it and I keep it around. So he sees, you know, there's a bunch of gas masks on the wall and voodoo masks and, you know, knives, and there's a whip over here, and the bookshelf has a bunch of stuff on witchcraft and voodoo and World War II. You know, all the books I can explain because I use that for reference, but all the other weird crap, it's either something I saw at an estate sale, hey, a gas mask, and it's only a dollar. And then you get it home, what the F am I going to do with this thing? Well, stick it on the wall. You know, I got a 4-foot axe. I'm sort of like a 3-foot axe. It was $5. Then what are you gonna do with it? So it's just hanging on the wall. I got a German Mauser rifle. It's hanging on the wall. A bunch of bayonets. So now these two cops are like, "What?" They look at each, you know, they look around. I'm watching them. They're each panning the room, right? And the in unison, they both take a step back towards the exit. The detective reaches into his pocket. Now I'm worried because I see him reach into his suit jacket, and I assume either to pull out a gun or handcuffs or a radio for help or who knows what. But probably not. He pulls out a business card. He goes, "Well, if you hear anything about those books, you let us know." And he puts it, you know, without moving any closer to the desk with the computer on it, reaches as far out as he can and just puts it on the corner, and then this with his little finger sort of nudges it closer to me. you give us a call. And then they both take one more quick pan around the room and leave. So they didn't look in the, they stopped looking for the books as soon as they took in the whole apartment. They're like, "Well, whatever this guy's into, it's not stealing comic books. And we don't need to get involved. Let's get the F out of here." They didn't look anywhere else. They didn't look in the basement. They didn't look in any of the closets. And in fact, I have two long boxes of comic books sitting there. They didn't look at them at all. Oh, standing right next to two boxes of comic books, they decided they'd rather not look through. So they go, they leave. And now I can see in my window outside. Their squad car. They pulled up in a black and white. they both go to the car, and they're like, I can't tell if they're arguing with each other. The one guy's scratching his head, and Maul starts a hand motions pointing at the other guy, and the other guy's like, oh, no, you should have done X, Y, Z. And then, you know, I'm standing there looking, and then they both look up, and they see me looking down at him, and they both just sort of scamper in the car and drive off. And that's the story of the two cops. The end. Alright, hopefully that's loud enough. Send us an email. Let us know if one worked, or both worked, or if neither worked. And we'll see you next time.